Couple of weeks I've spent some time reflecting with you on Father Sam Shoemaker's words to the church, actually a number of years ago, about what the church could learn from AA. During the first week, we talked about the reality of his reflection that the church could learn from AA the importance of having a clearly defined need in our life, to have a sense of our own sinfulness, our brokenness, our great need for God, and what that means for us individually. Last week, I spent some time reflecting with you on the reality that the second thing that we could learn from AA is that we need to be a part of a life-changing fellowship. And that one of the ways that you and I could experience that in the church is not only by gathering together in worship on the weekends, but making it a point to especially try to be a part of a small group. I got some interesting feedback about the phone call this past week. And so I think, you know, the reality is if you're really going to get to know people in a small group, hopefully you'll get to know their phone number and their email so you can actually be in touch with them. And so that's an important way for us to connect with one another and to be an encouragement to each other. And so the third thing that the church can learn from AA, I like to preface with the following story. Maybe some of you have seen the show Intervention on TV, or you've had the exciting experience of actually participating in one. Intervention is done in the hopes that the person struggling with alcohol, drugs, or whatever the addiction will be willing to go immediately for treatment after they hear of the negative impact of their addiction on their loved ones. And so the third thing that the church needs to learn from AA, according to Father Sam, is the necessity for personal dealing with people. And let me just say, having had the sometimes wonderful and sometimes challenging experience of being in an intervention with someone, sometimes it works out the way that you hoped it would, and sometimes it doesn't. It goes horribly wrong. But that's life. And intervention ultimately, I believe, is rooted in love. It's probably one of the most loving things a group of people can do on behalf of somebody else. And we go there with difficulty. You know, you go into that intervention with a lot of prayer, a lot of thought about, well, how can I say this in such a way that they'll bring about a change, hopefully, in the person that I love. And so if you go into it with that sense of truth, but also love, you're approaching that person, I believe, in the absolute right spirit. You know, sometimes love is nice and warm and fuzzy, and sometimes it's tough, but it's both. It's both. Father Sam shares, AA knows all the stock excuses about why not to go to AA. It doesn't work for me. I'm not really so bad. I don't have a problem. That's my favorite one right there. excuse me while I laugh a little bit. It helps. They've heard them all and know them for the rationalized pack of lies they are. I love that sentence. They constitute the gospel of hail and failure. Are we in the church like that? Have you ever dared to be drastic in love with anybody or they with you? We are so official, so polite, and so ready to accept ourselves and each other at face value. I went for years before I ever met a man who dared to get at my real needs, create a situation in which I could be honest with him, and hold me to a specific Christian commitment. People need to be helped to face themselves as they really are. The AA people see themselves as they are, but many in church see themselves as they should like to appear to others, not as we are before God. We need drastic personal dealing and challenge. Now, I know you all came to church today to hear that, I'm sure. But I want to get to a part of a verse in Ephesians 4 today that was read today that I think will help us with this. It's a very small part of that particular chapter in Ephesians 4, but I think it really helps us with the direction to go in, and it kind of refers back to what I was talking about earlier, and it's simply this: speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. You know, all of us have a relationship maybe with someone in our life, or we have at some point, where they're more than willing to let us know what they think about us. Right? And they let us know many, many times about us. They tell us the truth about us. And you know what? If you're halfway alive and normal and cognizant, you probably know the truth about yourself already, too. In fact, you know a lot of stuff about yourself that you're kind of keeping to yourself anyways, right? Bless you. Great place to sneeze, isn't it? So the reality is that what we're encouraged in Ephesians is that the truth needs to be spoken. And that's part of what we're getting at in this third point of AA. That's what Father Sam is sharing with us in this, isn't it? The necessity for personal dealing with people. That's what intervention is all about. Intervention is about coming into a person's life that's in the midst of addiction, in denial, doesn't even know what's going on, probably doesn't even see it, and is being confronted by loved ones and friends to let them know, hey, you have a problem. I love you, but you have a problem that's tearing me and tearing this family apart. That's what intervention is all about. It's about speaking the truth about the reality of the situation. It's about saying, hey, you know what? There is an elephant in this living room. It's really big. It's there. And I'm naming it. That's a big step for a family to make. That's a big step for a human being to make, is to be truthful about what's going on. Because you don't know how it's going to go. It could work out or it could blow apart. There are no guarantees when you begin to be truthful. It could be the end of a relationship. I've had some relationships where I was truthful, done. It was over. And other ones, it worked out. But that's the risk, isn't it? That's why people go their whole lives with an elephant in the living room and they never, ever talk about it. Never. And it's destroying them. So this reality of truth is incredibly important. In fact, it's interesting in the scripture today that as you look at that scripture in Ephesians, Paul's talking about the importance of speaking the truth in love and the reality that of deceit that's around us. Say, I don't know about what your sense is about the world right now in our culture, but it seems like people really aren't getting off on the truth. They're getting off on lies. People are busy telling all kinds of lies about one another in the hopes of gaining a certain outcome. And I would say they're saying, if they're honest to themselves, would be the ends justify the means. Whatever it takes to take this person out, I'm going to come up with lies, I'm going to fabricate stories, whatever it takes to destroy them. I just want to let you know that's not okay with God. You might get what you're looking for, you might destroy that person, but know this, you and I are going to give an account for every word that comes out of our mouth. Especially words that are meant to be deceitful, words that are meant to be lies, and words that destroy other people. So you know what? You need to get a handle on that before you get to the judgment seat. That's all I'm saying. You want to be clear about that before you get to that seat, because the Lord's going to confront you and I on that. Yeah, and again, let me just be honest with you. A lot of times I find it's just better to keep my mouth shut. Just you know what? A lot of times some of the best things I say aren't said. So again, this idea of truth is incredibly important in the scripture. And again, you look at the scripture here today in Ephesians, it's spoken about in the context of the Spirit-giving gifts. It talks about the gifts of leadership within the church. And it talks about the body of Christ. And it talks about the body of Christ growing together and being formed as one body, each part having its function. But part of that happening is speaking the truth in love. It's not going to happen in the church. It's not going to happen in our society. It's not going to happen in our families and our relationships unless we're able to speak the truth in love. So let me get to that second part of the scripture that I think, that verse I should say, that's really important, the love piece. When we're telling the truth to somebody, we need to be able to share it with them in love. And you might say to yourself, well, Father Joe, how do I know when it's in love? Well, all I can tell you is you'll know. You'll know. Let me give you a couple of suggestions. If you're angry, keep your mouth shut. It's probably not going to be in love. I'm 61 and I'm still learning this lesson. Go for a walk, Joe. Go for a long walk. Maybe don't talk to him till tomorrow or the next day or maybe a week from now. Go for a walk. But I found to get to the place of love for me requires taking time with it. I mean, if this is a substantial truth, if I'm going to be part of an intervention with somebody who's struggling with alcohol or drugs or whatever the addiction might be, I'm going to want to spend some time really thinking about what my words are going to be and how I'm going to share this, how I'm going to say this, and also probably talk with the other people that are going to be sharing about this as well. And then I'm going to want to spend some time in prayer. And then the reality is, depending on what it is, I might go to that person alone, or there might be somebody else who's noticing, and maybe go together to go to that person. But it, and it says in the scripture, when you go to them, the objective is to restore them. Huh, that's what the scripture says. Your object in going to somebody should always be to speak the truth in love and to restore them. It says in another scripture, in a spirit of gentleness. That's how you'll know that you're speaking the truth in love. Because there'll just be a feeling about it. You will have prayed about it. You'll prayed for the person you're going to go talk to. You'll have thought about it. You'll ask the Holy Spirit to be moving through you. And then you'll share as best you can, trying to speak the truth in love. And again, as we look at the scripture, the goal is that there be a building up. There be a responding, there'd be a healing. What's it say here? This last sentence, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is how the body grows. This is how families grow. This is how churches grow. This is how societies grow, by speaking the truth in love. If people are pretending that there is not an elephant in the living room, if people are busy lying and telling deceitful tales about other people, trying to destroy them, the scripture is really clear about that too. A house divided against itself will not stand. It's going to collapse, or it's in the process of collapsing. That's exactly what's happening with our culture right now. It's in the process of collapse. So again, I would just say this is probably a really good lesson to learn right now. Speaking the truth in love. Building the body up, seeking restoration, seeking healing. If you're moving in that kind of spirit, if you're moving in that kind of way, let me just say this to you. However they respond is however they respond. It's out of your hands. You've already approached that in the right spirit. You're seeking to speak the truth in love. You're looking to have healing. You're looking to have reconciliation. You're looking to build things up. And if they don't respond in that way and they walk out huffy-puffy and I'm never going to talk to you again, then God be with them, let them go, and keep them in prayer. You've done everything you could do, and you did the right thing. Stop pretending there's not an elephant in the room. There's an elephant in the room. It's there. Everybody knows it's there. And just because you pretend it's not there, guess what? It's still there. And anybody that plays the elephant game pretending it's not there is just as sick as the person who's struggling with the addiction. We all know that. So that move to speaking the truth in love is a move toward health. It's a move toward healing. It's a move toward reconciliation. It's a move toward rebuilding. It's a move in the Spirit of God. It is a gutsy, incredible, holy, awesome thing to do that none of us do lightly, but is incredibly important for us to do. You know, again, it's like Father Sam said this. You know, he's speaking these words to us today. He was saying this decades ago, but how timely is it today that people are kind of all just tiptoeing around it? Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. And meanwhile, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And you know what? Sometimes you just got to offend somebody. Just got to do it. Offend them in love. Offend them in love. So, in closing, as we begin to embrace the possibility of speaking the truth in love, as we begin to embrace maybe the thought of actually having a deep enough relationship with someone that we could actually tell the truth to one another about what's going on, and we actually would still be in the relationship afterwards, that we'd be mature enough for that. Let me ask us a couple questions. Have you made the depth of your need known to another human being? And again, this is the question I've been asking us now for 3 weeks. Have you, or are you willing to begin to move in the direction out of the shadows, out of your darkness, and begin to allow another human being to know the depth of your need? And again, if that starts in the confessional of another church, in that box where you go and kneel down and the light goes on and nobody knows your identity, I'm good with it. Go with it. That's a start. Get it out. Get it out into the light. As long as it's a secret, it's a cancer that's killing you. It's got to get out into the light that there might be healing. Which brings me to my second point. Are you open to a fearless, personal, moral inventory? Now again, I've done this a lot with AA and other addicts that are going through recovery. One of the steps in the 12 steps is you go to someone, usually it's a priest, because we wear that purple stole at this point, and anything you tell us, we're not allowed to tell anybody else. We've made a covenant with God and with the church that that's secret. That's even honored in court. And even if it's not honored in court, any priest worth their salt will go to jail over that. Keeping our mouth shut with that one. So usually they go to a priest, and I've been that priest for a number of people, and let me tell you something. They share everything that they've done. And I mean, some people I've sat down with, they have 4 or 5 pieces of paper from a yellow pad back and front going through all the stuff that they've gone through in their life, all the sins, all the guilt, all the shame that they feel. And after they go through that, sometimes with tears just streaming down their face, sometimes shaking over what they've been through, you know what I do? I speak to them the mercy of God. I speak to them the love of God. It's like in a few moments where we have the confession of sin, we receive the mercy and the forgiveness of the Lord. And then what I invite them to do is take those sheets home that they have or take them somewhere and burn them. Burn them up as a physical sign of God's consuming them and forgiving them in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because that's exactly what happens. And a lot of the people that have gone through that moral inventory with me and that confession have said to me, they feel like a weight's been lifted off of their shoulders. And the reason why they feel that way is because it has. It's been a weight lifted off of them. in a very powerful, incredible, and healing way. So, beloved of God, I want to encourage you. I know the Lord keeps bringing me back to this place, and I know it's an uncomfortable place for some of us to be sometimes, but the Lord wants to bring healing to our lives. And he wants to bring healing in our relationships. But the only way that healing is going to come is if we're able to speak the truth in love. And one of the things that I love about the Lord is that he loves me enough to tell me the truth about myself. Other than my mom, he's the only guy I know who does that with me, other than a couple of really close friends. Speaking the truth in love. You need that person in your corner. You need that person now. Our culture is dying for that in this hour, that we would speak the truth in love.